week, when I was sharing, I spoke on the account of the tax collector and the Pharisee, how tax collector's prayer was considered more righteous prayer than of the Pharisee, and how tax collector was seen as the accepted one in the temple than the Pharisee. At the end of the sermon, we got to the disciples crossing over to the other side, and we looked at the importance of staying in the boat. Amen. And as I was pondering upon this same thing of staying in the boat, I really felt God put this message in my heart for today. And we're going to continue on the same theme of staying in the boat. But today I've entitled my message, I Remember. Okay, I've entitled my message, I Remember. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read from verse 22 to 33. This is what it says, from verse 22. It says, immediately, everyone say immediately. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Okay, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. The disciples wanted to stay with Jesus, but Jesus said to the disciples, listen, you need to go to the other side. And Jesus made the disciples, okay? Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So Jesus is still with the crowd and he's saying to the crowd, okay, it's time to go home now, alright? It's time to go home, everybody, it's time to go home. While at the same time he's saying to the disciples, now it's time for you to go to the other side. And when we get to verse 23, it says, after he had dismissed them, he went on a mountainside by himself to pray. To pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Amen. Let me say that again. Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied. I love Peter. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Amen. Come on, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. God, amen. I absolutely love this passage of scripture found in this in the Gospel of Matthew. Here we see Peter and the disciples, and as we just read, immediately. So before this happened, they were feeding the crowd of 5,000, and the Bible says the number of those who ate was about 5,000, besides women and children. So there were more than 5,000 people in there. So this happened immediately after this big ministry time. The disciples and Jesus were there feeding the 5,000. They were all drained. They were all tired. So Jesus looks at the disciples, and these disciples are tired. Disciples, they need a bit of rest. So knowing that, Jesus says to the disciples, now you have to go to the other side. Okay, don't worry about the crowd. I'm here. I'll make them go away, but you have to go to the other side. Go before me. Then Jesus makes the disciples get into the boat so that they can go to the other side. Okay, and the scripture reminds us that while he dismissed them, he went onto mountainside by himself to pray. There's this importance of prayer there. Do you know? The reason why we run out, the reason why our batteries run out is because we don't charge our batteries. Okay, I'm not talking about physical batteries, I'm talking about spiritual batteries. The reason we burn out is because we don't spend time with the one who refreshes our soul. We know all the logistics of lifting up our hands in worship. We know all the logistics of saying the right words and doing the right thing. But the most important question we need to ask ourselves today is, how is my spiritual tank? We need to ask ourselves this question, how am I doing in my Christian journey? How am I doing in my Christian faith? Is there some sort of barrier I need to create in my Christian life? Or is there some sort of thing that I need to perhaps change in my Christian journey? I don't know if you read the word for today this morning, but it was fantastic. Okay, and the word of today mentioned these four things, and I want to bring it to you this afternoon before we get any further. The four things the word for today mentioned this morning was, the first thing we need to do is we need to be on the alert. We have to be alert all the time. We have to protect ourselves. Okay, it's the question of, so many times we ask this question, why am I not growing in my Christian journey? So many times we ask this question, why don't I see change in my life? The reason we don't see change in our life is because we're doing the same things all the time, yet expecting different results. It does not work. The cycle has to change. Something needs to change. I cannot expect a change to take place in my life while continually doing the same routine all the time. Something needs to change. If I'm constantly working, if I'm constantly preaching, if I'm constantly doing ministry, and doing the good things, but not spending time in the presence of the living God, I'm going to run out. My battery's going to run out. And when my battery runs out, all of a sudden, the joy inside me dies. Why? Because I didn't make time to spend time in the presence of the living God. We need to spend time in the presence of the living God, because our soul is actually crying for rest. I love how Jewish people, how they functioned and how they still function today. On the Sabbath day, okay, the reason why they don't work on the Sabbath day is because they have this belief where they say that our soul needs to catch up with our body. So in a sense, our soul is catching up with our body. We're making our soul work so hard that our soul is disconnected from our body. So in a sense, when we take that rest on the seventh day, what we're doing is we're giving time for soul and body to be one. Isn't that amazing? We're giving time for soul and body to be one. And looking at studies, different studies, this is a hurry society. We like to hurry. We don't like to wait. If we see anything, we want to buy it. We don't like to save to buy it. We are prepared to go on a monthly installment to get that stuff there and then. Why? Because we are restless. Why? Because there is this restlessness in us when, as soon as we feel, we want it. Okay, but the Bible teaches this different principle. When we look at the story of Joseph and how what happened in the land of Egypt and all of Israel at that time, there were 7 years of prosperity and there were 7 years of famine. Okay, there were 7 years of prosperity and there were 7 years of famine. And what happened was, God gave Pharaoh a vision. And no one was able to interpret that vision for Pharaoh, and Joseph was called before Pharaoh to interpret that vision for him. And hence, Joseph interprets the vision for him, and Joseph is now the second in command. Okay, now Joseph is the second in command, and what he does is, he installs this new principle where he gathers every man, he gathers everyone in that community, in that society, and tells them, now we have to save up. Now we have to save up in our storehouses, because time is coming when there's going to be famine in the land. A time is coming where there's going to be famine in the land. And what did they do? They stored for 7 years. They had enough for the rest of 7 years. Okay? But in those 7 years they grafted, and in those 7 years they rested. See there? They grafted. There is a time to graft, but also there is a time to rest. Amen? And each and every one of us, God is calling us to rest. We need to rest. Because our soul needs to catch up with our body. The reason why we're tired most of the time is because we are always hurrying. We're lying in bed, but our mind's doing 100 miles an hour. We're lying in bed, but there's loads of things going in our minds because we have not implemented this principle of resting. We have to rest. I was really bad at this. I'm still really bad at this. And that's why I have my wife who keeps telling me, listen, don't use your laptop. Okay? I'm sat there and I'm saying, I'm just resting, but I'm not. I'm doing something on the internet. She shuts the laptop for me. She goes, you rest. And I'm watching telly for a minute, then my phone's out. And she's like, no, you rest. It's hard. It's very hard. When you're in that pattern of doing things and doing stuff, it's hard to get yourself to that place of rest. But what does Jesus do? Straight after this big, massive ministry of feeding more than 5,000 people, he sends the disciples away to the other side. And Jesus stays there all by himself because Jesus needed his own personal time with the Father. Amen? Jesus needed his own personal time with the Father. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed that personal time with the Father, how much more do we need that personal time with the Father? Jesus being 100% God, Jesus being 100% human, needed to spend that time with God. And so do we. We need to change something in our routine. Something needs to change because we can't wait for time. We have to make time, amen? We have to make time. I'm not going to wait for time. I'm not going to wait when I get spare time or free time. No, I'm making spare time. I'm making free time because I need to protect myself if I want to continue on this journey for 40 years, 50 years, 100 years to come. I need to implement and change something in my life. And if you want to continue this journey for the rest of your life, you have to implement some new changes in your life. You have to learn to say no. You have to learn to say no. If someone says to you, come on, let's do this, no. You have to set that boundary. You have to set this circle of boundary, and wherever you go, you carry this circle of boundary with you. What we do is, we create the circle of boundary, then once a week we leave it there, then we go out and we forget about the circle of boundary. But that needs to change. Wherever we go, the circle of boundary follows us, amen. Wherever I go, the circle of boundary follows me. The circle of accountability follows me. I need to know that what I'm doing is good for me. I need to know that what I'm doing is good for my soul. And today, you have to make sure that you know what you're doing. And the thing that you're doing is good for your soul. You have to be very intentional about protecting yourself. You have to be very intentional about making time for yourself to be in the presence of the Most High God. Amen. Second thing was, stand firm on faith. Stand firm on faith. Don't stand on people's opinion or circumstances. People will always have something to say about you. If you do good, they have something to say about you. If you do bad, they have more to say about you. They will always have something to say about you. It doesn't matter if you're in a good place or a bad place. They will always be there. But we need to make sure that we are intentional about picking and choosing the right voices that dictate our life. Amen? That dictate our life. When Jesus was performing miracles, lots of Pharisees came around Jesus and said to Jesus, Jesus, what are you doing? Listen, you're from Satan, you, like, what you're doing is demonic. He had a lot of accusations. A lot of accusation. Why? Because he was doing good. He was performing miracles. He was doing the supernatural. And Pharisees didn't like it. Because they were jealous. Simple as, they were jealous of what Jesus was doing. And also at the same time, they were threatened. Because Jesus was a new man in the town. And he was doing more things, more stuff in a short period of time than what these leaders did in this massive time. And then we had all these people gathering around Jesus and accusing him one after another. But yet Jesus continued to do good. Reminds me of that scripture found in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Whatever happens, do not be weary in doing good. do not be weary in doing good. You will have rough days. I will have rough days. Each and every one of us, we will have rough days. I haven't met anyone who hasn't had any rough day. You know, but I'm very intentional about standing firm on my faith, knowing that God is good, and knowing that this rough stage is going to pass away because there is a miracle waiting for me on the other side. Amen. Know this, that the rough phase you are in right now is going to pass away. It's going to pass away because you are close to your breakthrough, because you are close to getting to the other side. Amen. Stand firm on your faith. Third thing was act mature. Be mature. You have to leave the elementary and press on to maturity. We have to let go. This is just an illustration, okay? A little kid. When a little child is born, you feed the child milk, okay? And can you imagine if the child, when he gets to 30 years old, still looking at you and saying to you, feed me milk, feed me milk, feed me milk. Something has to change. There has to be this maturity taking place in that child's life, okay? So should be in our case as well. We have to mature. We have to mature in our journey. Like if you're making the same mistake 10 years down the line, then you haven't set boundaries in your life. If I'm making the same mistake 10 years down the line, I haven't set boundaries in my life. Why? It's not because of my leaders. It's not my leader's fault. It is my own fault because I haven't stepped up to the challenge and created this boundary of rhythm around me that protects me and keeps me safe and keeps me on fire for Jesus. If we continue doing the same thing 10 years down the line, you haven't matured yet. I haven't matured yet. Something needs to change. And fourthly, be strong. Be strong. Quitting isn't an option. Quitting isn't an option. Fight for it. Amen. Fight for it. We have to fight for it. Paul says to Timothy, keep fighting the good fight of faith. I am fighting. I am fighting. Okay, I'm fighting for people in this area. I'm like, I want to see them changed. I want to see transformation taking place in their life. The reason why we're here today shows that we are fighting together, amen. Shows that we want to see something taking place in this area. Not only that, but shows that we care for one another. The person sat next to you and look at them and tell them, I care for you. Tell them, we're a family. Because we are a family. The person sat next to you, they will fight for you. But most importantly, God will fight for you, amen? God will fight for you, because this is not your battle alone. You are not fighting alone. God is there for you. Let me say that again. You are not fighting alone. God is there for you. When we go through dark phases in our lives, we think, this is just me, I'm all by myself. But no, look around. We have room for people who is cheering you. You have room for the people who is there for you. You have room for the people who wants the best for you. No one in this room wants wicked for you. Nobody. We are all in this boat together because we're going to fight together. Because we're in this together. Because we are a family. And whatever happens, family watches out for one another. Because this is how it's supposed to be. Amen. This is how it's supposed to be. And getting onto this scripture, we see that Jesus made time for himself. And he says he was there alone and the boat was considerable distance away from the land. And they were buffeted by waves and the wind was against it. The wind was against him. Can I say this? The wind is against you doesn't mean that God is against you. Let me say that again. Because the wind is against you doesn't mean that God is against you. Many times, the confirmation that God has spoken to you is the fact that wind is against you. That is the confirmation. If the wind is against you, then you're walking in the right direction. Amen. In the study of this passage, do you know what I discovered? Resistance is often the greatest place for revelation. Resistance always leads to revelation. When we bought this building, I mean, when Andrew was facing and doing a lot of legal side of things, there was a lot of resistance. There was a lot of resistance. But the resistance didn't put us off. It didn't put us off. But it rather gave us a revelation. It gave us a revelation that this was our place. And we were not going to back out. We were not going to back down. Whatever happened, we were in this together. We were going to purchase this building together because we wanted to see something happening in this place for God. And 6 years later, we are sat in this room together. 5 years actually, 5.5 years later, we are here together. And this is all because of God. There was a great resistance, but also there was a great revelation. And God revealed us that this is not your battle, this is my battle, and I'm going to fight for you. This is your building, and I'm going to give it to you. Amen. And the Lord will say to you, the miracle is on its way, and that is your miracle, and He's going to give it to you. Don't back out, don't quit. Don't quit. You're waiting for that breakthrough. Don't quit. The breakthrough is on its way. And God says, I'm going to give you that breakthrough. Just keep holding on, because it's on its way. It's on its way. You see, if the wind was working for you, you would thank the wind when you have got to your destination. Why I say this is because our heart is an idol factory. And if we're not careful, our heart will idolize everything it sees. You see, when we get to verse 27, it says, Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And that's the word for you today. Take courage, don't be afraid. When you face storms in your life, take courage, don't be afraid. When you face a lot of resistance in your life, take courage, don't be afraid. When you feel like giving up, quitting, take courage, don't be afraid. When you feel like throwing down your towel and saying, I've had enough, I'm not going to carry it anymore, take courage. Take courage. That's the word of Jesus for the church today. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Why? Because He is there for us. He is there for you. If God is for you, then who can be against you? Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Nothing can harm you because God is for you. The storm was there. The wind was there. But this wind couldn't do anything to disciples because Jesus was with them. Jesus was with them. Although Jesus wasn't with them physically, Jesus was already there present. And sometimes when you're going through tough times and tough seasons, you might not feel His presence. You might not see God's hand. But let me tell you, He's already there. He is already there. He is already there. When we get to verse 30, it says, but when He saw the wind, He was afraid. This is Peter. Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, if it's you, let me come up. And Jesus says, come. And verse 30, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You see, Peter heard the word, but then he saw the wind. That's why he was afraid. Peter heard the word, but he saw the wind. And that's why he was afraid. And I want to pose us this question this afternoon. Are we paying attention to what we see? Or are we paying attention to what God spoke? Are we paying attention to what we see? Are we paying attention to what God spoke? You see, when we focus on what we see rather than what God spoke, then we sink. We sink because we focus on what we see rather than what God said. And all we need is one word from God. All we need is one word from Jesus. See, Peter wasn't walking on water. Let me say that again. Peter wasn't walking on water. He was walking on the word. Amen. Peter wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word. Because God said to him, come. Because Jesus said to him, come. He heard the word and he believed and he walked. Why? Because he believed the word. He believed the word. And that simple as it is, we have to believe His word. We have to believe. Though you might not see the fulfillment of what was said to you months ago happening in your life, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Because you don't see it happening doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. Amen. Say it with me. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. The family member that you've been praying for months, you might not see transformation taking in this place, but it does not mean it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. You have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to have faith. Because if you lose your faith, you will sink. You will sink. If I lose my faith, I will sink. Peter wasn't walking on water. He was walking on the word. The wind didn't stop when Peter got out of the boat. It didn't stop when Peter walked on the water. It did not stop when he drowned. It stopped when Jesus came to him. When Jesus came to him, the wind died down. And whatever your storm is today, when Jesus steps in that boat, when Jesus steps in the situation, I tell you what, miracles take place. Miracles take place. And that is the gospel. God of heaven, the Son of God, stooping down. Stooping down to earth. And being there for us. Not only that, but He humbled Himself. He took on himself the flesh, and he became obedient to the point where he was willing to go on that cross for each and every one of us. And the scripture says, Therefore God gave him the name that is above every other name, that every name shall bow in his name, because he is Jesus. That is the gospel. The reason our lives are different today is because of Jesus. The reason my life is different today is because of Jesus. I'm not talking about outer change, I'm talking about inner change. You see, when you first give your life to Jesus, all of a sudden, like, before you gave your life to Jesus, your mouth was like a gun. Swear words one after another, bam, 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 machine gun. But when you give your life to Jesus, all of a sudden, you're like, before you swear, you're like, oh, hold on, I better not say that word. All of a sudden, you have conviction. Why? Because of Jesus. Because you have Holy Spirit living in you. Because you have the Son of God convicting you, telling you the path, showing you the path, showing you the way, the truth, and the life. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. That is our Jesus. Amen. He is our Jesus. I want to tell you this. Whatever season you might be in today, remember the presence of the living God is with you. The resistance is there to re-energize you. Okay? It's going to re-energize you. The obstacle is often an indication that the breakthrough is on its way for you. The obstacle is often an indication that the breakthrough is on its way for you. Keep pressing on. Church, please don't quit. Never. Let's not quit. Let's keep pressing on. Don't forget past victories. Can you remember the time when you almost quit, but you didn't? I remember the times when I almost quit, but I didn't. If I had quit back then, I wouldn't be standing here today. And whenever I face tough seasons in my life, whenever I face tough challenges in my life, all I do is I look back and I'm like, I remember. I remember God was there for me. I'm not going to forget His promises. I'm not going to forget His miracles. I'm not going to forget the times where I almost quit, but He gave me the strength. Don't forget the main thing. Don't forget to keep fixing your eyes onto Jesus. Don't forget to stay in the boat. What we talked about last week, staying in the boat. What we mean by staying in the boat is being in that fellowship with Jesus, but at the same time having that accountability around us. We have to be accountable. I need to be accountable. I'm accountable to my leaders. If something's not right with me, I go and I speak to them. And a few times I've been challenged. Okay, and it's good for us. Each and every one of us is good for us. A few times my leaders, they've told me stuff that's like, oh, you know, and it's up to us how we take it. If I take it as a good thing that's going to change me and going to help me in terms of my future, then all of a sudden my perspective will change. All of a sudden my life will change. All of a sudden there will be this transformation in my life and this willingness to learn. Okay, I ask myself this question more or less every week. How teachable am I? How teachable am I? Okay? If someone challenges you, if someone confronts you, if someone sits you down and tells you you're doing it the wrong way, at that moment, you'll know how teachable you are. When I was challenged by my leaders, at that moment, that showed me how teachable I was. My reaction showed how teachable I was. Jesus had to correct his disciples. A few times, Jesus had to say to Peter, listen, get away. What are you saying? Can you imagine Peter in front of everyone? Jesus, don't say that in front of everyone. If he wanted to, he could have hold on to a lot of grudge against Jesus, but he didn't. Instead, he was willing to learn. And look what he did in the Gospels. Amen. Look what was revealed to him. Jesus, you are the Messiah. Peter, on this revelation, I'm going to build church. On this revelation, I'm going to build my church. All because Peter was willing to listen. All because Peter was willing to learn. Do you know, this was actually an account. I believe Peter maybe told Matthew as he was penning these down. And Matthew was like, Peter, tell me your experience. What was it like for you? And Peter's like, let me tell you. I remember the time when me and the others, we were crossing over to the other side. And Jesus told us, I'm going to stay here, you go to the other side, I'm going to catch up with you. And there was a big, ferocious storm. And we were all scared. Then we saw this figure walking on water. And all of us, we shouted, "Oh, it's the ghost!" But then, I noticed that it was Jesus. Then I cried out, "Jesus, if it's you, call me out." And Jesus said, "Come." Then I remember walking on the water for the first time ever. I tell you, I remember when I walked on the water, Peter would say. I remember when I walked on the water. Can you imagine the feeling? Walking on the water, Peter would say. I remember the time I walked on the water. I remember the time I drowned. But I also remember the time when Jesus picked me up. Amen. I remember the time when Jesus picked me up. Peter remembers the time when Jesus picked him up. I remember time after time after time, I wanted to quit. I was ready to throw my towel. I was ready to just say, "What's this all about?" But time after time, Jesus came to my rescue and he picked me up and he lifted me up and he said, "Listen, you are forgiven. Listen, what you've done, what you did is forgotten. You are a new creation," and that's it. Amen. That's it. We are a new creation. I remember the time Jesus saying to me, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ." I remember the time Jesus saying to me, "Listen, don't be too hard on yourself. You can do it." I remember the time Jesus saying to me, "Listen, don't quit because there is a great future awaiting for you." And today Jesus would say to you, "Don't quit because the great things are yet to come. Great things are yet to happen in your life because Jesus is there for you. Don't quit." Amen. Don't quit. I'm not quitting. And if I see you coming to me and telling me, "Dan, I'm going to quit," I'm going to say to you, I'm going to shake you and I'm going to tell you, "Don't quit because God has great things in store for you." Amen. God has great things in store for you. In the storms, Peter remembered the time when Jesus picked him up. Can you imagine? Peter maybe must have had days where he too wanted to quit. At the end of the day, he's human. But then he looks back. "I remember the time Jesus picked me up." He remembers, "I remember the time Jesus told me to walk on water and I walked." Amen. And on the day where I too want to quit, I say to myself, "I remember the time when I was ready to pack up my bags." But Jesus said, "Listen, don't quit, don't give up, because I haven't given up on you." Amen. Amen. Because I haven't given up on you. God is so good. God is so, so good. And I want to encourage each and every one of us, whatever the season, whatever the circumstances, whatever the place you might be in today, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord into that situation. That's okay. Ask the Lord into that situation and see how the presence of God changes everything. Yeah. I know that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. That's why I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting on myself. I'm not quitting on you, because we're in this together. If we're in this boat together, this is a boat and you're in this together. And if you want to jump off the boat, listen, I'm holding on to you. Okay, whatever it might take. Sometimes I might need to strap you down. Sometimes Andrew might need to strap you down. And even though you might say things, blah, 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 listen, you are in this boat. You are in this boat. I'm in this boat. Sometimes Andrew might have to strap me down and I might say loads of things to Andrew. But Andrew, like, "Listen, Dan, I'm not quitting on you. You're in this boat and we're going to do this together." Amen. And if Jesus would have been here, he'd do the same. Strap me down. He'd like, "Listen, you're not quitting because I see the potential in you. I know what I have in store for you. That's why I don't quit." Amen. God has something amazing for each and every one of us. Let's not quit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you for listening. God is good. Amen. Amen.